Syria has been jailed for 4 years. Massadur Chowdhury, who's 31, was part of a group of men which travelled to the country from Portsmouth. Serious errors have been uncovered in the way the health regulator in England, the CQC, has rated thousands of GP surgeries. More than 7,000 practices were put into one of six risk bandings, which could trigger early inspections. The CQC has been forced to apologise to hundreds of surgeries for giving them incorrect patient safety risk ratings. An investigation by BBC News found that 60 practices were wrongly identified as being of high concern. So Mike Richards of the CQC said he regretted the error.
I wish it hadn't ever happened, yes, obviously, but sometimes these things only come to light when you look at the full numbers that the 7,660 practices, or whatever the number is. So we had tested it, we'd worked closely with the BMA, the Royal College of GPs, with our own GP experts. This hadn't come to light until we looked at the very big numbers.
A Birmingham company has been fined £6,000 for making illegal discharges into the Severn Trent water sewer network. H&P Policing UK released illegal limits of metals into public sewers. The company has also been ordered to pay £4,000 in costs. And some news just in. Specialist officers searching an area of West Bromwich in connection with the murder of Lydia Pascal have found a body today. Earlier today, the body of a woman was found in a wheelie bin in Hope Street in West Bromwich. A Christmas tree dedicated to the teenage fundraiser Stephen Sutton has been vandalised. Stephen died in May after raising £5 million for the Teenager Cancer Trust. The tree in Burntwood had yellow ribbons ripped off it. Organisers say if the tree is vandalised again, they'll put up a fence to protect it. And the nominations for four of the categories at next year Grammys have been announced in the last half hour. Leading the way so far is Britain's Sam Smith, who is up for both Record of the Year with Stay With Me and Best Pop Album, where he's up against Coldplay and Ed Sheeran. Finally, the weather. Sunny spells developing this afternoon, but a cold wind about. Highs of 7 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Devitt.
Who's the second best presenter?
Caroline Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
Not a fence. They're not going to put a fence up, are they? Well, that'll stop the vandals, won't it? Won't it? I think you know the answer to that. First of all, why would anyone vandalise a Christmas tree? Second of all, why would anyone vandalise a Christmas tree dedicated to that fella? And thirdly, why is my producer laughing so much? We've not even started yet. 03453 009956. Christmas cards is a waste of time, in it. Speaking in street slang so the kids can kind of understand and identify with me. Maybe we'll get some young people calling in instead of just Ranjit. Oh, man alive, that guy. Bothered by Bond? The new Bond is announced, and you could hear the whole world collectively going, ah. And also, do you feel sorry for Russell Brand? Blimey, that started quicker than I expected. Never mind.
Soul little elves are
afternoon. Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Busy, busy show. So, Christmas tree dedicated to Stephen Sutton vandalised. Nice one, guys. Thanks, guys. I'm sure they walked off high-fiving each other. Proud. Proud of their evening's vandalism of a tree dedicated to a young man who died of cancer. Nice one, guys. Great work, guys. But be careful, because if it happens again, the council are going to put a fence up. The enemy of all vandals, the council fence. 03453 00956. Before we start the show properly and get onto what I was going to talk about, there's a great story in the Birmingham Mail. Elf protest at council Christmas lights turn off. It's not a real elf, it's a woman. Jessica Hayes, right? She's having a whinge. She's the elf confident protester who believes she can convince councillors in Birmingham to see the light. Or lights, to be precise. Whoever wrote this, Kelly McLaughlin, is a genius. Jessica Hayes is protesting on a roundabout near the Radleys with her Jack Russell dog Milo. Can dogs actually be protesting? They're just there, aren't they? The dog won't be sentient about what's going on, will it? Against the local authority's refusal to put up festive decorations in the district. Jessica told the Birmingham Mail, "It's disgusting that there are no lights this year. I'm a big Christmas fan, and although I'm really shy, I'm willing to do this because I think it's important." Let's read that sentence again. There's a fact in there that's irrelevant. See if you can spot it. "I'm a big Christmas fan." No, that's not it. "And although I'm really shy..." That's it! What's that got to do with anything? She's really shy? "It's a disgrace they're not up yet. This is quite a big area, with a lot of shops. It doesn't cost a lot to put little things up for Christmas." Well, yeah, hang on a second. We jump forward to the figures, OK, where the figures come out. Because I don't know if you've noticed, these are times of austerity and no one's got much money. OK. Councillor Mike Ward said the decorations could not be funded this year because of budget cuts. "Sheldon Ward Committee's decision not to fund Christmas lights was taken in mid-2013, when councillors learned the council was cutting each ward's community chest from £125,000 to £50,000. Lights in previous years have cost £5,000. May I suggest that when no one's got any money, when they're closing old people's lunchtime clubs, when they're closing libraries to save a few quid, not putting up some Christmas lights and a bit of tinsel, it's not the greatest thing in the world, is it? Yeah, OK, it's disappointing, but we haven't got much money, have we? Have we? 03453 00956. I know I'm late. We're buying the Christmas tree on Sunday. My wife said, "Hey, do you fancy buying the Christmas tree on Saturday?" "I can't, I'm working." "Sunday?" I said, "No, you could go and do it Saturday if you wanted." "No, come with us, it'll be fun." Which part of looking at loads of trees, then trying to fit it in a car, then trying to get it out of a car, then trying to set it up with a four-year-old and a two-year-old running around is going to be fun? Do you know what? I always love Christmas. I always love Christmas. This one, I can't be bothered with it. I think I'm turning into a Scrooge. I think I am turning it. I cannot be bothered. It's the BBC WM Christmas party next week. I don't think I can be bothered to go. I don't like anybody here, apart from you, Joe. You and Bernie. Bernie's my favourite. I'm my second favourite. You're my third favourite. Everyone else. I mean, is Daz going to be there? Daz Hale going to be there? He is. I'm not going to go then. I'm not going to go. I mean, he's aggressive enough on a Saturday morning. Imagine him on a Friday evening full of ale. Oh, gosh. And he was giving blood today on... I can never remember that guy. Anyway, on that show this morning. And he won't have recovered. He'll still be lightheaded this time next week. So, no, I'm probably not going to go. 03453 00956. Here's the thing. Well, I've paid. I don't matter. I was on Radio 4 last night. I'm loaded. I'm not. I did it for free. Here's the thing, OK? I think I'm becoming a Scrooge when it comes to Christmas. But here's something you will back me up on. Even when I was totally married and in love with Christmas, right? I've always, always, always hated with a passion the Christmas cards. The Christmas cards! What is the point of Christmas cards? They serve no purpose whatsoever apart from to frustrate me, annoy me, and to fill up the backseat of my car. Because that's where they end up. I'll get the post. I put the post in my car for some reason. And I won't bother opening them. Or if I do, I'll go, oh, it's a Christmas card. Oh, all right, Christmas card. What am I supposed to put them up in my house? Why? Christmas cards are naff. Oh, it's a picture of a robin sat by a candle. I couldn't give a monkeys. It's signed by... And when listeners send in Christmas cards, and again, you know, I say this with respect and love, but when listeners send in Christmas cards, honestly, guys, save your money. Save your money, really. Caroline was saying she's had loads of cards from listeners. Well, that really is pathetic. It is, honestly, isn't it? Really, when you think about it. Are the phones broken? Or is everyone just angry because I've dissed them? I've just dissed them because I don't want Christmas. What are you supposed to do with Christmas cards? And you spent ages filling them out, and then you forget somebody, and it's like, oh, no, I forgot Auntie Ethel. She sent me one, and it's Christmas Eve. Worse than Christmas cards, of course, are e-cards, electronic cards. Terrible, terrible things. You've got an e-card, delete. What's it going to be? A picture of me superimposed on an elf. Isn't that charming? You've wasted 30 seconds of my life with that. 03453 009956 is the telephone number. I think you'll agree with me. Christmas cards are a waste of time. And those charity cards where you spend like £4.50 on a box of charity cards. You know what I'm talking about, Bob. You spend...
Hello?
Yeah, hello, Bob.
How you doing?
You spend... hello.
First off...
sorry?
I totally agree with Russell Brand. He's a jumped-up nobody.
Right, hang on a second. Whoa. Who are you agreeing with?
I don't know the man.
Who are you agreeing with?
I don't know.
Right, OK, so you've just... Your opening gambit is, Bob, and it's nice to have you on board, by the way.
Hello. Ian,
yes?
Are you sure your second name is Ebenezer?
I beg your pardon?
Is your second middle name Ebenezer?
I don't have a middle name.
Well, everyone's got a middle name.
No, they haven't.
Most people have, anyway.
I don't.
I mean, Christmas cards.
Yeah.
You,
yes.
If you've got relatives round the country,
yes, I phone them.
Well, you phone them.
I phone them. Yes, I phone them definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
But if you receive a card,
yes,
you know, as opposed to a phone call,
yes,
you know,
you can interact with a phone call.
I know it's not the same thing.
No, it's not as good.
Well, maybe not.
No.
You know,
so why? Listen, you spend £4.50 on a pack of charity cards, right? And it will say on the back, 50 pence of this box will go to these 36 charities. Well, hang on a minute. And also, here's the thing, right? Why are charity Christmas cards rubbish? They're the worst looking Christmas cards. Oh, it's a candle.
I've got to be honest, Ian. I don't buy charity cards.
Yeah, because... hang on a minute.
I will go into a shop, my local supermarket, blah, blah. But I will always pop into a charity shop and donate money, you know.
So you'll give money to Hallmark, but you won't give some of that money to charity via buying their NAF cards?
Well, maybe not, you know, but hope some of that money that I donate...
Yes.
Does go to that charity.
Well, you would imagine
you know?
If you're donating money to a charity that at least a percentage of that will go to that charity.
You know, i.e., you know, if you like Salvation Army,
yes.
Birmingham Mission.
Yep. You're just going to list charities now. Yep.
You know, different charity shops.
Yes.
You know.
But, Bob, are you one of those sad cases that puts a round robin in?
I beg your pardon?
Are you one of those sad cases... that puts a round robin in the card?
Every Christmas card I send, and I do to my neighbours, family.
Oh, not your neighbours.
Yes.
I hate neighbours.
Well, that's probably your prerogative, Ian. But I always, put their name.
The round robin is a letter, right, that's photocopied generally by someone you don't really want to talk to. And it's about 4 pages long, and it summarises their year and how in March they lost their Jack Russell that's been with them for 15 years. And it was very, very sad. But they went on a cruise in April to get over it, and they're starting to feel a lot better now.
Every Christmas card I send, Ian, to neighbours, family,
yes,
whoever it is, I'm hoping to go and see my brother in Clinton.
In Clinton?
Yeah.
In Clinton's cards?
Pardon?
Yeah, and what are you going to do with him there?
Hopefully have Christmas dinner there,
Well, go,
because I live,
go
and, live on my own.
Go and but see I, you, go I, and see your brother. Don't give him a card. Go and give him a hug.
I will do, but I'll also bring a card with me.
Why?
It's old-fashioned.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. It's boring.
As quick as I can as well.
Oh, here we go.
Right?
Yes, Bob.
Every Christmas card I write to neighbours...
Yeah, you just said,
...family, I always put, as opposed to a stamp, because I've only got to go 2 or 3 doors down the road...
Yeah, do you draw a stamp?
A smiley face.
Oh, no.
Yes, you've got to put a smiley face.
You do like an emoticon.
I beg your pardon?
Bob, I want to go back to the first thing you said, OK?
Go on, then.
You said, I agree, I think Russell Brand is a waste of space. I asked you who you were agreeing with, and you didn't know.
Well, I thought you was on about Russell
no.
Brand.
No, yeah, we can't, because I'm asking this afternoon, do you feel sorry for Russell Brand?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because he's a hyped-up nobody.
Well, hang on a minute.
He's on the television, Ian.
You've contradicted yourself. He's a hyped-up nobody. Well, he's not a nobody. He's a really successful comedian.
People go and see him in concert.
Yeah.
And
he's worth 12 million quid.
That's their choice.
Yes.
If he's on television, I can assure you, my friend, that I will switch that over immediately.
Okay.
There are certain celebrities on television that you cannot take to.
Yeah.
You know, I can watch...
Don't say Michael McIntyre.
Phoenix Knights, Peter Kay.
Yeah.
I can watch him till the cows come home.
Yeah.
You know, he makes me laugh.
But Bob, the Sun are running a campaign of hatred against Russell Brand.
I think that's wrong. It's everyone's choice. I would not write to a paper. I'd phone in to my favourite locals, you know, my Radio WM.
Free FM. Us. Okay, well, that's great.
You know, I'll give you my honest opinion.
Bob, it's good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. How can you not feel sorry for Russell Brand at the moment? I'm not asking whether you think he's funny. I'm not asking if you thought Get Me to the Greek on Time was a good film. I'm not asking if you read his books. How can you not feel sorry for him? What's he done? He's been really successful. He's worth about 12 million quid and he lives in a house that costs £76,000 a year to rent. Right? Oh, and he stood up for some women, some families, who will probably get kicked out of their homes because I think their rent is going from something like 600 quid a month to £2,000 a month, right? He stood up for them and said, you know what, maybe this isn't that fair. That's all he's done. And the Sun have now got a campaign against him. 03453 009956. Nigel's in Warwickshire. Afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon. Like, it's personal choice. If you want to watch him, you watch him. If you don't, you turn over. It's like Chris Evans, the BBC DJ. He won't play Cliff Richard. Now, that's his personal choice, but if you're a listener, you might want to listen to Cliff Richard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so he dictates who you can listen to and who you can't. Whereas if you've got your telly, you can press the button, switch it over. I think the Sun are bang out of order, you know, picking on one person like that. It's freedom of choice, or have we got no freedom left in this country?
Well, the thing that the Sun has taken issue with is that Russell Brand has decided to speak out for some families who are going to get a rent increase from 600 quid a month to £2,000 a month. And they're saying he's a hypocrite because he's got a lot of money. Well, rich people are allowed to speak up for poorer people, aren't they?
Well, they are, you know. It's all about the middle, isn't it? Whether you're worth £10 or £12 million, you know. Look at David Beckham. He's worth millions and millions and millions. He has opinions on things. It's whether you go public, whether you're going to get slated for it or not. But I've got one other issue as well.
Yeah, go on.
Christmas cards you've just been on about.
Yeah, go on, Nigel.
Right, this is gospel truth. 2 years ago, I was in the Kiwi, OK? The Kiwi saved my life.
Yeah.
They gave my life back. I don't write Christmas cards anymore. I put the money in the bag and I send it to the Kiwi for charity.
Well, good for you.
I feel much better for that.
When you get Christmas cards sent to you, does your heart kind of sink a little bit?
If it's not my mum and dad and my partner, it puts a smile on my face. If it's friends and relatives, I say, look, put something in an envelope. I'm going to send it from it with my envelope and I'm going to send it to charity. What do I want a Christmas card for, really? To put in the bin, you know, 3 days later.
Ladies and gentlemen, exactly, Nigel, thank you. What, let's chop down another rainforest, shall we, guys? 03453 009956. I want to try and find a way of marrying these two subjects together as well. Christmas cards and Russell Brand. There has to be a way, and I just can't quite get my head around it yet.
BBC WM 95.6 at Christmas.
It's your turn again now, both the congregation and for listeners all around the West Midlands.
Join BBC WM 95.6 for Christmas carol services across the West Midlands. This Sunday, the 7th of December, from 4, we're recording at St. Peter's Collegiate Church in Wolverhampton. And on Monday, the 22nd of December, from 1, at St. Philip's Cathedral in Birmingham.
Christmas can remind us of the pleasure of giving to others.
And the glory of the Lord shone around them.
Entry to both is free. Christmas on BBC WM 95.6.
Afternoon. Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, here every Friday, 2 till 4. Franksy at 4 o'clock. So, Christmas cards. Man, what a drag. Honestly, what is the point of them? They're just a hassle, they're expense, they're a chore. Have you tried writing recently? Flipping heck, it's hard work. I couldn't do 3 cards without getting cramp. Yes, listen, if my boys make me a card, beautiful. If my niece and nephew make me a card, beautiful. I will take that gladly. But you're going to buy me one from Budgens?
I don't think so. No thought has gone into it. You haven't gone, I think Ian would like this. Right, what's the next card out of the box? Who's next on the list? There's no thought into it. So let's all save ourselves a few quid in these times of austerity by getting rid of Christmas cards. Simple, isn't it? 03453 009956. And I want to find a way of tying that into this, and I can't yet. Maybe you can help. But Russell Brand, do you feel sorry for him? Not a massive fan of Russell Brand. I met him once years ago. He was nice. He's very charming. I don't think he's particularly funny. He's made me giggle a few times. I don't think he's particularly funny. But the Sun have really got it in for him. Britain last night backed the Sun for branding gobby Russell Brand a hypocrite. Well, you've branded him a hypocrite, but if you look, he's not a hypocrite. What you've branded him for? A landslide 68% polled think he has double standards for ranting about tax dodge firms while paying an estimated £76,000 a year in rent to live in a flat whose company owners are registered in a tax haven. Yeah, he pays the rent to an estate agent, though, that's registered in Britain. So the estate agent, you see, he's not a hypocrite at all. Why can't wealthy people speak up for not so wealthy people? I don't understand what the problem is. You have to be. If you've got a heart, and as it comes up to Christmas, boy oh boy, don't we all have hearts? If you've got a heart, you have to feel sorry for Russell Brand, don't you? He's being stitched up like a smoked fish. 03453 009956 is the telephone number. Right, let's get the travel news now. Here's Liz Saul.
Almost.
Oi, who's this?
It's Matt.
Matt, one day I will come in and they will tell me, actually give me the right name as to who's doing the travel. I do apologise, Matt. Away you go.
Thank you very much. We'll start on the Aston Expressway, which is partial.
Well, Matt seems to have taken offence at what I said and has abandoned us, so I apologise for that. Nothing to do with me, Governor.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Let's hope Charlotte isn't offended by me getting Matt's name wrong. Here's the news with Charlotte Harriman.
Police looking for a missing Romanian woman in West Bromwich have today found a body in a wheelie bin. Lydia Pascal, who was 26, went missing last month. Two men have already been charged with murder. Two Birmingham men who travelled to Syria to join an al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group have been jailed for nearly 13 years at Woolwich Crown Court. Mohamed Ahmed and Yusuf Sawar, who were both 22 and from Handsworth, were arrested on their return to the UK in January. Serious errors have been uncovered in the way the health regulator in England, the CQC, has rated thousands of GP surgeries. More than 7,000 practices were put into one of six wristbandings, which could trigger early inspections. The CQC has been forced to apologise to hundreds of surgeries for giving them incorrect patient safety risk ratings. And a Christmas tree dedicated to the teenage fundraiser Stephen Sutton has been vandalised. Stephen died in May after raising £5 million for the Teenage Cancer Trust. The tree in Burntwood had yellow ribbons ripped off it. Finally, taking a look at the weather, sunny spells this afternoon, but a cold wind about and highs of 7 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Christmas cards, WTP. What's the point? And you have to feel sorry for Russell Brand, don't you? Mark's on the line. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi there, you all right?
Well, I'm confused. I'm worried I've offended Matt on the travel by getting his name. He stormed off in a hissy fit, it would seem. Or maybe there was a technical problem. I don't know.
It sounded like a glitch to me. He kind of stuttered and then went off.
It must have been a glitch. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, Mark, and see what happens. What have you got for us?
Oh, do you know what? Hearing you talk, when I heard, when you said about the Christmas cards and this whole the round-robin letter, It struck a chord with me. How pointless is it? It's absolutely horrendous, isn't it? Why on earth would someone do it?
Mark, if I haven't spoken to you for a year and you don't know the fact that my Auntie Jean died in February and that my kids got married in April, then there's probably a reason we don't talk to each other for a year.
Well, no, that's right, isn't it? That's totally 100% true. And even if you haven't spoken, like, highly inappropriate way to notify someone of such a thing that's happened, is it really?
Is there anyone in your family, Mark? And with the greatest of respect, it's normally old women. Is there anyone in your family that does the round robins?
In my family, no. But my mum does receive a few, and I do take great pleasure in reading through them, and I just find them hilarious. I just think it's just... I mean, it's obviously not meant to be funny.
No.
I'm not laughing at anyone's downfall or anything. But it just really...
You are a little bit, aren't you?
Well, I suppose, just a touch. Only the sort of the non-sort of, like, detrimental things. No, yeah, you are really. No,
Mark, do you bother with Christmas cards at all?
Oh, well, you kind of get shamed into it, don't you, really?
Yeah,
You do, don't you? You can't really sort of... Sometimes, some you do genuinely, like, you have to send them, really. Unfortunately, it's kind of... Kind of not even a choice anymore.
Mark, I'm going to let you go because it's a little bit faint, but that you are... This is it. You get shamed into doing it. No! Stop shaming people, guys. Let's not invite shame into Christmas. I will not be shamed. Trust me, Mark, if you're as dedicated to the cause as I am, you can work through that shame and that shame will go. If you say, I'm saying it now, and I've said it to people, I don't send Christmas cards. Right? Not going to send Christmas cards. I might give my mum a Christmas card on Christmas Day because she likes it. But that's it. And even then, it's begrudging. I try and get the cheapest one I can find. My mum actually reads the poem in a Christmas card. Yeah, I know. You can... even the most sentimental tripe will make her cry. It will make her cry. Wishing you on this Christmas day that all your feelings and dreams are gay. And here's the one that got away. Merry Christmas to you today! Oh, yeah, that's so beautiful. Ridiculous. Darren's in the city centre. Afternoon, Darren.
Afternoon, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good,
yeah,
nice. Well, I'm glad that's sorted.
Fine. You're an award-winning radio presenter.
That's right, mate. 3 awards in 12 months.
Fantastic. How much research did you do, or how much, you know, preparation did you do for this programme?
I'm smelling beef. What's your beef?
My beef is that you've come on our radio station for the people of the West Midlands.
That's correct,
and all that you want to talk about is Russell Brand and Christmas cards. We don't care what you think about Christmas cards. Oh. In fact, I don't care what anybody thinks about Christmas cards, whether they like them or whether they don't.
Yeah.
And Russell Brand, what's he to do with the West Midlands? And you're asking us to feel sorry for him. I don't really care about Russell Brand.
Well, Darren,
so
if you listen to the
we could be talking
about
Ian.
Darren, if you listen to the show regularly, as I can tell you do, then you'd know that people are invited. I set up the stall, and these are the things I bring. But
is
people,
that all you can bring?
No, listen. If you let me finish, Darren, and stop waving your beef in my face. People are allowed to call up with all the things they want to talk about. What have you got that's more interesting?
There's a million things more
interesting
then. For people.
Just give
in
us
the
one. Just give us one.
Food banks, we can talk about food banks, we
Darren.
Can talk about the need for food banks. More, probably not the most interesting thing in the world, but
more Darren,
interesting than Russell Brand
Darren,
and what you think about Christmas cards.
Darren, what would you say about food banks that hasn't been said a million times about food banks?
You can turn that around and say, what would you say about Christmas cards or Russell Brand, really? I'm just saying.
No, because I'm doing
more
it.
Well, Darren. Interesting things.
You say that. You've not given me an interesting thing. What would you say about food banks that hasn't been said a million times about food banks, that wasn't said about food banks by Danny Kelly this morning? What would you do?
I would choose another subject.
That's the one you gave me. Give me another one, then.
If this was my radio station, Ian, if this was my radio programme, I'd have done some research into what the people of the West Midlands want to talk
about.
Well,
Darren, I'm doing research now. You're from the West Midlands, so food banks, we've decided, isn't a good topic. Give me a second one.
Let's talk about Aston Villa Football Club.
We don't do sports on this show because there's lots of other shows we can discuss sports. So give us another one.
Let's talk about the economy of the West Midlands.
Oh, Darren. Yeah, and then let's all fall asleep listening to the radio.
I'm falling asleep listening to you talking about your dislike of Christmas cards.
But you've called in.
Russell Brand is.
But you've called in.
Yeah, I've called in really just to speak really, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of people, not just Ranjit, who are going to call in and say the same thing. We don't care what you think,
Darren,
about Russell Brand,
Darren,
or Christmas cards.
Darren, may I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Between 9 and 12 on Saturday and 2 and 4 on Friday, go and do something else then, because I'm here for a year, mate, and this is my show, and this is I'm getting so many phone calls.
Yeah. But and I'm paying your wages as well.
So and I really appreciate it, Darren. Well, I've listened to you. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you. Darren's got beef with me, John. Could you believe that? John?
Hello?
John, Darren... Oh, blimey.
I want to talk about Aston Villa now, manager.
Why didn't he phone up to have a go at Caroline talking about Ouija boards? What's that got to do with the West Midlands?
No idea.
Oh, dear. But listen, can I just say, like, maybe I've not said it today, the way this show works is I will come in with things that I've been talking about with my team, with producer Joe, OK? If you've got something you want to talk about, then phone up and by all means, throw it out there. And if people are interested, they'll call in. And if they're not, they won't. And I'm more than happy with that.
Brilliant.
Anyway, John, what you got for us?
Yeah, basically, about Russell Brand, everybody's kind of like, feels like they're picking on him, but they don't really understand why. This kind of seems to be a great British tradition where everybody needs to pick on someone who's in the limelight.
It does seem to... People seem to be jealous of him, don't they?
Yeah. The thing with Russell Brand, unlike a lot of other celebrities, he's throwing out issues that need addressing that no other celebrities are addressing. You don't see Bono while he's working on his big, massive jet doing that stupid line in that song. Talking about real, modern issues.
John.
Us all.
I love that. It describes that stupid line in that song. John, I'm going to let you go because the line's awful. The line's not very good. One more thing before you do go, John. What do you think about Aston Villa? He's gone. OK, John. Thank you. Stephen's in Sutton Coldfield. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Afternoon, Ian. Now, that person you had on before the last caller, I have to tell you, he doesn't speak for all of us.
Oh, no, he doesn't. And he speaks for some people. He doesn't speak for others. The thing is, I threw out there, with the greatest respect, I've thrown out there two local stories and no one's called in about them. I've spoken about the Stephen Sutton tree that was vandalised. No one's called in about that. And I've spoken about Jessica Hayes, who's campaigning that... That in Sheldon Ward committee have decided not to spend any money on Christmas tree lights. I've thrown that out there. No one's called in about them. Those were the first two things I spoke about.
I have one complaint about you, and it's only one complaint.
Oh, blimey.
I can't stop laughing.
And this is
the problem, because you see, I work in people's houses. I do the cleaning, and sometimes they're in and sometimes they're out.
What do you do in their houses? You dropped out. You're a burglar.
No, I'm not a burglar. I'm a cleaner.
Oh, OK.
I have people in the next room wondering why, because I've got you on headphones.
Oh,
and I
no.
keep laughing. Out loud.
Here's the thing. You wear headphones.
While you're on.
You wear headphones while you're in other people's houses.
I do.
Is that not a bit weird?
For whom?
For you. I don't wear headphones very often these days, but when I do, it's kind of, I'm kind of out and about. But if I go into a confined space, a public toilet or a shop, for example, I'll turn the headphones off so that I'm aware of what's going on.
Yeah, there is that. See, to yourself while you're vacuuming. I can't do it. Can't compete. So, and I quite like listening to you, so I use my headphones.
I tell you what, Stephen, for the rest of the show, we'll be deadly serious. We'll talk about Aston Villa and food banks. Is that okay?
No, please don't, because I've been laughing so much.
Well, Stephen,
I mean, I know I said it's a pain in the backside when I keep laughing, but I like it, really.
You're a very, very kind gentleman. Thank you very much. 03453 00956. I put out two local stories and no one called in about them. I started off with them. I'm not, you know, hey guys, if you've got something better you want to talk about, then let's talk about it.
Now, excuse me if I sound rude, but I love the way that you move, and I see me all over you now. Baby, when I look in your eyes, there's no way that I can disguise all these crazy thoughts in my mind now.
There's something about you.
You got the lock, I got the key.
Yeah.
this spell you got me under. I see fireworks when we touch down. Your body fits on mine like a glove. Let them say whatever they want. It's too late cause you're in my blood.
Every Friday, 2 till 4, every Saturday, 9 till 12 in the morning, producer Joe and myself, we come here and we do this thing. I throw stuff out, some of the things you bite, some of the things you don't bite. And you're always, 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 perhaps I didn't make it clear today, you're always allowed to come on and suggest your own things you want to talk about. Food banks, really? If you want to talk about food banks, it's important, but what are we going to say that's not been said a million times already? And Danny was talking about food banks this morning. So where do we go with that? Aston Villa, this is a sports-free zone. Don't dig sports. There's plenty of other shows on WM95.6 where the presenters love sports. I don't. So there's no point in me doing it. It would be a dull listen and I would be totally bluffing my way through it. And what was the other thing that was... Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you've got something you want to talk about... Then 03453 00956. We don't say this is what we are talking about. You must stick to this. Some of the best stuff we've done in the past few months has come from having a conversation with you. And we've gone, oh, we'll have that. So, you know, come in. If you phone up and complain if you want. I mean, it's a little bit tedious. But if you've got better suggestions, then come and put them forward. At the moment, we're talking about Russell Brand. Do you feel sorry for him? You have to feel sorry for him, don't you? And Christmas cards, what a waste of money. Len's in King's Heath. Afternoon, Len.
Good afternoon.
What you got for us, sir? Do you send Christmas cards?
Yes.
Oh.
But it's a bit of a pain.
It's a real pain, isn't it?
Well, the price of the stamps now.
Oh, I suppose so. And how difficult is it to write now? We don't write anymore as a society. Well, so to sit down with a stack of Christmas cards, is it cripples your hand.
Yeah. And that Russell Brand,
yeah,
he's a right scruff.
Yeah,
he needs a haircut.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He's worth £12 million. We're never going to see money like that.
I know.
Makes you sick, doesn't it?
Yeah, you should have a vote on the wireless. Who's the worst one? Out of all of them.
Out of all of whom?
The people who come on the telly.
Who's the worst out of all the people that come on the telly?
Yeah, you should have a vote on it.
What? Everyone that comes on the telly.
No, but pick up a vote thing over it, you know what I mean?
I don't actually, Len. Give me some examples of who you mean.
Well, Simon Cowell and, you know, get a voting going to find out who's the worst one out of everybody.
Len, I'm going to throw it out there. Thank you for that. There we go, you see. I said you can call in about anything. Len wants to have a vote to see who's the worst one out there on the telly. 03453 00956. Who's the worst one out there on the telly? Do let us know.
A new champion for the West Midlands.
Oh, you won't have forgotten Jo Collier's story. She's the mum of autistic twins and she was carjacked. Remember that?
You know, I'm just absolutely, totally devastated. It's just broke. It's just broken us as a family, to be honest.
A new hero for mid-mornings.
Didn't want any of our listeners broken as families, all because of some dispute about an insurance claim.
Danny Kelly.
Well, I decided to get a call in on this.
Morning.
Morning. What's the update?
Oh, I've got some wonderful news. Thanks to all you angels, common sense prevails, and as I am talking to you, I'm awaiting a car to be delivered within the next hour.
Danny Kelly, weekdays from 9.
BBC WM 95.6.
Tracy, who's the worst one out of them all on the telly? Swan?
Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell. Okay, that's one vote for Simon Cowell. Okay, well, by the end of the show, before Franksy comes on at 4, we will know who is the worst one out of all of them on the telly, thanks to Len. What have you got for us, Tracy?
Russell Brand, he's great. Beautiful man. I met him once at an airport.
Oh, yeah. What was he like?
He was gorgeous, and he had his microphone, and he was done, and he spoke to me, and I said, hello, Russell, and he just says, hello, darling, how are you?
Here's the thing, Tracy, I can't understand, OK? As a heterosexual gentleman, I recognise, for example, that Elvis Presley was a beautiful man, OK? I don't get it about Russell Brand. What makes women go weak at the knees when they see someone who looks like Twitchy the Tramp?
He's like, I don't know, it's everything about him. He's Hare Krishna and he's hair and his makeup. I love men with makeup.
He wears makeup?
Yeah, I could see his eyeliner when I spoke to him.
Yeah.
And he was a really, really friendly bloke and I really respected him for
Tracy,
it.
Tracy, I'm gonna say something that may sound rude. I'm gonna guess your age.
Go on then.
58.
No.
62?
No.
65?
25.
You are kidding me.
No, I'm not really.
You are kidding me, Tracy. You've got the voice of an old woman.
I'm 47.
Oh, there we go. That's better. Thank you. Heavy smoker?
Are you calling me an old woman?
No. That was producer Joe said that. Are you a heavy smoker?
I'm not, no. I've got a bit of a cold. And okay. I've been in my taxi with the aircon.
Okay, well, in that case, then I apologise. The cold and the aircon has made you sound a little bit like...
Horsey.
Like a horse, yes, that's correct. But he had you weak at the knees at the airport, did he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do you feel sorry for him? Because he's getting a pasting at the moment, isn't he?
He deserves it, but... Oh. He's still gorgeous, and I still like him.
Why? you like a bad boy, don't you?
I do, yes. Yeah.
Why do you think he deserves a pasting?
Well, from that last thing he did with Jonathan Ross, he just puts his foot in.
Oh yeah, that was like 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when he's on the TV talking about the voting and everything else, he's a bit of a. Oh, I don't know.
The thing is, okay, here's something for all the Brand haters, right? He's got kids talking about politics. He's got young people in their teens and in their 20s reading a book about politics. He's got kids watching Newsnight and Question Time. No one else has been able to achieve that in the last 25 years.
Well, how come you thought I was so... Old then to like it.
Well, Tracy, you're right. I misjudged things there. But this is the truth, isn't it, right? He has got young people, kids and teenagers and but people in their 20s watching Newsnight, watching Question Time, thinking about politics, questioning politicians. That's got to be good, hasn't it? Hasn't it? Steve's in Castle Bromwich. Afternoon, Steve.
Hi, Ian.
Steve, who is the worst person out of all of them on the telly?
The worst, Jonathan Ross. Comes very close race between him and Brand.
Okay, we'll put Jonathan Ross down. So far it's one.
Oh, and John Lemon as well.
John Lennon.
Lemon.
John Lemon.
Is it Peter Lemon? I don't know. He looks like a lemon.
Peter Lemon.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put down Peter. John. What? Peter Lemon, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
you're
Steve.
A bit of personality.
What have you got for us?
I'm just talking about Russell Brand.
Yeah, go on. You feel sorry for him?
Well, No, not really.
Oh, why not?
Well, I wish he'd be Father Christmas and come to, down my chimney. I've got an open fireplace, and I'd probably have somebody at the top to brick him in and then light a fire at the bottom.
Gosh, you hate Russell Brand so much you want to burn him to death.
He's just an idiot.
Why is he an idiot? He's got 12 million quid. It's more than I've got. I'm guessing it's more than you've got.
Yeah, but, I mean, he dresses like an idiot.
Yeah.
He talks like an idiot.
Yeah.
And he gets paid for it. I mean...
Well, hang on a minute. He gets paid for it. He's obviously a genius. If he's getting paid for dressing and talking like an idiot, then that's wonderful, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. You would know. You get paid, don't you?
Why is it with everyone today? Why is everyone having a little needle? Okay, what is wrong with you guys? You're all in the mood. You all need to meditate. We need to chill out. Wow, are these the nice ones, Joe? So there are people grumpier than this phoning up. Flipping heck. I tell you, we'll speak to Ev and then we'll play a song, shall we? Ev's in Bromsgrove. Good afternoon, Ev.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm not grumpy. I'm feeling cheerful.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Someone's got the Christmas spirit in them.
Well, I'd like to vote for the worst person on the telly, Gloria Hunniford. Please just put her in an armchair.
Oh, no.
Somewhere.
Why do you hate Gloria Hunniford?
I don't know. She bless her heart. I think that's enough now.
I have met Gloria. And
have you?
Yeah, I have.
I'm sure she's lovely, but I think it's time she retired.
I worked with her on This Morning about 3 or 4 years ago. And she is delightful. But she's quite old school. You don't mess with Gloria Hunniford.
No. She looks quite fierce.
Yeah, she's got... I bet she can have it. She's got a temper. She told me, right, and she's got to be, like, pushing 70. She told me she was going to get a tattoo done.
Yeah, well, I agree with her there. If I get a tattoo, it's going to be... I'm 48 now. I think I'm saving it for my 60s or 70s.
What is going on? Because that other woman had a really old voice. You're 48. You sound like a teenager.
Oh, dear.
I thought you were about 19 or something.
I think it's probably your judgment that's a bit at the spout.
Jo, she's got a young voice, hasn't she? Hasn't she? Ev, we will put Gloria Hunniford on the list, and I'm not quite sure why we're doing this. Oh, it's because Len suggested it. Who are the worst people out of all of them that are on the telly? 03453 009956. Slowly we're warming up, I think. I got my first real six string. Boiled out the five and dime. Played it till my fingers bled.
Yeah.
man. Ian, I'm jealous of Russell Brand, says Tattoo Chris on the text. He's had his mitts on Katy Perry's boobies. Oh, for goodness sake. Does no one proofread these before I get them? Ian, you said we can call in about anything, says Chris. I bought a tin of dog food last night. On the packaging, it said new and improved flavour. How do I know that? It's not as if my dog can speak and tell me. Charlie in Smethwick says, Ian Lee, remember you're here in the Midlands. It's always the complainants have the worst spelling. Without us, you're nothing. If you don't get the phone calls, your show is dead. Au contraire. Oh, I could sit here quite happily for 2 hours telling you my thoughts on life. You need the fans of WM. And I bet you when you have no calls, you call Ranjit. No way! We never call Ranjit. Ranjit's number always flashes up on the screen and we hide behind the desks and pretend we're not in. For goodness sakes. Ian, I don't like Russell Brand, says Alan. He's a ponce. No Christmas illuminations in King's Winford yet, just half a tree. Everywhere else but not King's Winford. It's so upsetting, I'm gutted. And then he's done a colon, a dash and an open bracket. Oh, if you turn it on the side, it's a sad face. That's clever, isn't it? Russell Brand is a highly intelligent man and a good entertainer. He's just himself. And here's one from Linda. I don't understand this, Linda. Ian, you're Scrooge. A full stop in here somewhere would help. You're Scrooge. How are you going to feed your kids? There will be no shops open. Your wife is giving you good advice because when she has been for the tree, oh, this is buying the Christmas tree, and pulled that out of the car, you can then go and shop inside of the shop. Now, have I got the right way round, or will you correct me and say on the way to collect the tree, you got distracted and going to land into the shop next door? If that's the case, look out. There is a car in front. Your kids are in the back. Anybody got any idea what that means? Right, let's hope he doesn't bail out this time. It's Matt with the travel, Matt.
Thank you. We'll start on the Aston Expressway, which is partially blocked heading into Birmingham. Been an accident between Park Circus and Dartmouth Circus, causing some quite lengthy queues. Lawley Middleway still has a lane closed as well. A collapsed manhole as you head south from the A47 towards Curzon Street. On the northbound M6, there's a lane closed on the exit slip as you leave for Junction 4 at the M42. A vehicle's broken down there. And the M54 heading westbound, a lane closed for roadworks between Junction 2 for Wolverhampton and 3 for Albrighton. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6. Travel on 08453 00228.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3 o'clock, another hour of this nonsense. Are you bothered by Bond or is he a bit of a bore? 03453 00956. We'll discuss that and more after the latest news with Charlotte Harriman.
Two Birmingham men who travelled to Syria to join an Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group have been jailed for nearly 13 years at Woolwich Crown Court. Mohammed Ahmed and Yusuf Sowar, who are both 22 and from Handsworth, were arrested on their return to the UK in January. Detective Chief Superintendent Sue Southern, the head of the West Midlands Counter-Terrorism Unit, says the case shows how they need more help from the community.
People in the community being able to provide a counter-narrative in the first place. It's our ability to be able to monitor open-source social media. And then it's the relationship with service providers to be able to alert us where they see something or indeed take down material that's offensive and has the potential to radicalise.
Police looking for a missing Romanian woman in West Bromwich have today found a body in a wheelie bin. Lydia Pascal, who was 26, went missing last month. 32-year-old Matthew Cherrington and 37-year-old Thomas Ricketts have been charged with Lydia's murder and have been remanded whilst inquiries are ongoing. A former radio DJ who was a friend of Jimmy Savile has been found guilty of rape. Ray Terrett, who's 73 and from Altrincham in Cheshire, was convicted of 7 counts of rape and 11 of indecent assault. He abused girls aged as young as 12 in the 1960s and 70s. The Scottish Government says the stricter drink drive limit, which has just come into force, is designed to make the roads safer. In practice, the limit in Scotland will mean that a man who drives after having a large glass of wine or a pint of beer is likely to be breaking the law, while most women will be over the limit after a small glass of wine or half a pint. Neil Greig from the Institute of Advanced Motorists thinks it's inevitable that the rest of the UK will follow suit.
England and Wales and Northern Ireland are now out of step with Scotland, but they're out of step with most of the rest of Europe as well. So I think the pressure is building. We need to have that final message that really gets it over to people. Ultimately, this is about road safety. It will save lives.
The High Court has ruled that the Justice Secretary's ban on sending books to prisoners in England and Wales is unlawful. At present, prisoners can receive parcels only in exceptional circumstances, such as if they have a medical condition. The prison service described the judgment as surprising and said there had never been a specific ban on books. It said prisoners had access to a library service and could buy books through the prison shop. The author, Philip Pullman, says he's delighted.
The ban on sending prisoners' books seemed to me strikingly unjust and inhumane. Reading should be a right, not a privilege, to be withheld or allowed graciously by Her Majesty's government or anyone else.
A Christmas tree dedicated to the teenage fundraiser Stephen Sutton has been vandalised. Stephen died in May after raising £5 million for the Teenage Cancer Trust. The tree in Burntwood had yellow ribbons ripped off it. Organisers say if the tree is vandalised again, they'll put up a fence to protect it. Finally, taking a look at the weather, sunny spells developing this afternoon, but a cold wind about. Highs of 7 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Showers will die out to leave a clear night with a frost at down to minus 3 degrees Celsius, 27 degrees Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Kelly.
Who's the second best presenter?
Caroline Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's one of those shows, loads of you ringing in to complain. Good afternoon, I'm Ian Lee. I have feelings? No, of course I don't have feelings. I'm a robot. Lots to talk about. Christmas cards. What a waste of time and money. How can you not feel sorry for Russell Brand? What's he done wrong? Loads of people phoning up to say they don't like him. That's fair enough, but what's he actually done wrong? Can anyone tell me? 03453 009956. And the new Bond film is announced. Everyone breathes a sigh of, oh, really? I'm bored of Bond, and Craig has got to be one of the worst. And Len's suggestion, who are you bored of off of the telly? It's between Simon Cowell, Gloria Honeyford and Peter Lemon so far. And as I've said, if none of that tickles your trout, well, you can give me a call about anything you want, and I can see from the screen that's exactly what you're doing.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
I think it's about to get a little bit random. Jackie's in Sutton Coldfield. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Good afternoon to you.
What would you like to say, Jackie?
Well, completely random.
Good.
It's really a thank you.
You're welcome. There was more to that sentence. I apologise.
Yes, sorry. Well, I can thank you as well if you want me
no,
to.
No, that's OK. If you weren't thinking of me, then let's not force it.
OK.
What's your husband done?
It's my husband, Mark Green, and it's a massive, massive thank you to him. Really just to show that we love him and appreciate him.
Oh.
He works really, really hard.
Oh.
And at this time of year, we're sort of like passing ships in the night.
Oh.
And it was just to say, I love you, really, and to all of the other families out there at this time of year that are working really hard. And it's just to say, you know, remember each other, and it's not all about rushing around the shops.
Do you leave... What's your husband's name?
Mark Green.
Mark, big up yourself, Mark. Do you leave him little romantic notes around the house?
I don't.
Oh, Jackie, don't come on a radio... I mean, you're welcome to come on the radio station and say you love him. Leave him little romantic notes.
No, Mark leaves me little romantic notes in my diary.
Oh, what kind of stuff does Mark say?
I couldn't possibly repeat
it. Is it mucky? Is it? Oh, good. Oh, that giggle says it all. May I ask, how long have you been married?
We've been married 24 years.
Oh, flippin' heck. That's a lifetime.
I know. Well, you gold star.
Jackie, what you need to do, and I don't want to teach a grandmother how to suck eggs. No, that's an inappropriate phrase. You leave him.
What is it you with you and age today?
I know, there's something. Do you know? I tell you what it is, Jackie. I tell you exactly what it is. Right, I'm 41, and it's dawned on me I'm getting old. Okay, that I'm not going to be around forever. I've booked a personal trainer for a series of 10 sessions starting next week. And I just think I'm really starting to feel old. I couldn't keep up with my young boys this week.
No. Well, you don't need a personal trainer. What you need is romantic notes.
Oh, here we go, you little mucky. Just send them a little text now saying, all right, Mark, when you get back tonight, I'll be wearing that special outfit you like. And that give him something to look forward to.
I couldn't possibly text him that. He's driving a massive HGV lorry.
Oh, no, you don't, Jackie, you don't want to put him off when he's doing that. All right, well, listen, well done. That's a very nice thing to do. Well done, you, and well done, your fella. He sounds like he's a very, very lucky bloke. 03453 00956. Dave's in Coesley. Afternoon, Dave.
All right, Lee. How am you?
I'm all right, David. How are you doing, fella?
Oh, I'm saying, just on the way home. Great show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
But worst one off the telly for me, same as another call, Lemon. You know, the Peter Lemon, the idiot with a bandaged hand on ITV.
So that's two votes for Peter Lemon, a man who doesn't exist. Wow, OK.
That's it.
Brilliant. Well, that'll stick it to him.
Sorry?
Yes, you've called in about canals.
Oh, it's basically when I'm fishing, there's shopping trolleys and that, and I keep catching my line in it. And then, so this will come. And they'll ride into me poles. I don't think they should be allowed. They should be banned.
Do you know what? It's interesting you say that, because there have been two, one here and one somewhere else, of cyclists on towpaths being pushed into the canals.
That wasn't me.
All right, Shaggy, I know it wasn't you, but... they come and ride into your... Here's one thing. I used to be a fisherman, and then I remembered it was really boring, right? What's the difference between a rod and a pole?
Well, rod's got a reel and a pole's got elastic on the end of it.
Well, then how do you get the fish out if it's not got a reel?
Well, you dangle your pole in the canal and then you lift it out and then you have to take the shafts off the pole,
yeah,
piece by piece, and then bring it into your net.
What do you do with the fish you catch in the canal?
If no one's looking, take them home and eat them.
No, you can't eat them. They'll be disgusting.
I'm joking. It goes back.
Dave, thank you very much indeed. I used to go fishing... until the age of 12, and I suddenly realised, this is really, really boring. At 15, actually, this is really, really boring. What am I doing here? It's so boring. You catch a little minnow and you put it in a net and then you let it go, and what's the point of that? Fishing is a sport. You know, they have competitions. Flipping heck. Get a life. Get a life, Danny. Danny?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Oh, okay. Hello? No, that's fine. Do you like fishing?
Me, I'm a carp angler myself, yeah.
You're a what?
I do like fishing. A carp angler. I like fishing for carp.
Oh, blimey. And can you eat carp?
Well, you can, but we don't. The Eastern Europeans and the Polish do, and it's a problem at the minute, but let's not go on to that one.
Wait on, why is it? This is brilliant. Here we go. So, is there a shortage of carp because of these blooming Polish coming over here?
Well, they are pinching them from pools because it's... at this time of year, apparently, carp is their Christmas dinner. But they eat it regular as well.
Well,
and over in Telford,
yeah,
you see them quite regular.
This is outrageous. Well, it turns out that
the fish and...
they are taking the fish, aren't they?
...into the boot of the car, yeah.
But it turns out... This is what Farage should be focusing on, not the fact that they don't speak English or that they're over here. They should be focusing on the fact that the Polish are using their poles to nick our British carp. What a pain in the carp.
That's right, yeah.
Anyway, Danny, you've not called in about that. What have you called in about?
Just give Birmingham Children's Hospital...
Yes.
..a real big... thumbs up,
yep,
at this time of year.
Yep, this will make all the difference,
but,
yes.
This time last year, me and my family were there.
God. You're right, Danny.
Yeah.
Go on, fella, take your time.
And they're just absolutely fantastic.
you know, and work through the hardest of hard with all the children.
It's a very special place, and I did some volunteer work in Great Ormond Street, and I think anyone who works in a children's hospital, there's something very special about them. Am I allowed to ask, Danny, what was going on for you and your family?
I don't want to go into details.
Then that's
a can of worms, but...
Then that's fine, you don't have to.
He had an accident.
Your lad?
With a dog.
Oh, blimey.
He's got a long way ahead. This year we're going to have a really good Christmas.
How old's your boy, Danny?
He'll be 3 in April.
Oh, mate, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. They're so precious, aren't they?
They are, and he makes us laugh every day, and he's, you know, he's still with us. First of December last year.
You've got past that anniversary. So that's good. How's it looking? Is he going to be all right eventually?
Oh, yeah, he's fine now. He's back at nursery. He's back doing everything he should be doing.
Beautiful.
Third of December, we were transferred to Birmingham Children's to intensive care. We had 3 weeks in intensive care, and they got us out for Christmas. Well, 23rd of December, we came home. Just can't fault them enough. They're just a league of their own. One of the best hospitals in the world.
It is definitely one of the best kids' hospitals in the world. And they're miracle workers, aren't they?
Yeah. And I'd also like to just point out that I think McDonald's get a lot of slate in because people don't agree with their food and where they are. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But they have a charity box that helps families like mine to stay close. And I don't think people realise. I mean, we were there in Birmingham for 3 weeks. How much would that have cost us in a travel lodge? You know, finding our own meals, living there for 3 weeks. It would have broke us. It would have bankrupted us, I'm sure. And we had 3 weeks at their expense in a beautiful hotel that it was completely McDonald's funded, and through people like myself, people who have had it, who have carried on to do charity work, and I don't think they get enough credit for that. I don't think it's enough people know what those charity boxes are there, because life's too busy, and we don't stop and read and see what it's all about. But they make a massive, massive difference to children up and down the country that are on death's door.
The boy's all right?
Yeah, he is.
He's back at nursery.
He was one of the lucky ones that last year.
Is he being a little terror, as every 3-year-old boy should be?
Nightmare.
Yeah, and they just... the 4 and 2, my boys, and they are a pain in the bottom, but aren't they precious?
You wouldn't change it. No. I mean, he's up every night bouncing around still at 10 o'clock.
Good for him.
You know, but you go to bed tired every day, but you're smiling in the morning when he's standing in the chair
again. I really appreciate you telling us that story, and it's always good to remember the good work that the Birmingham Children's Hospital does, and I'm so pleased that your boy has come out the other side.
Yeah, so if any of the staff from Birmingham Children's Hospital, intensive care, the ENT department, thank you. Thank you.
Danny, thank you, mate. 03453 009956. Well, I think we all welled up a little bit there at that story, didn't we? Particularly if your parents of small kids. Aren't they precious? Well done, Danny. Thank you for that.
Before the second show.
0973 453 00956. We seem to have gone off on very random directions and tangents, which is why I absolutely love doing this show. Thank you for that call, Danny. Christmas cards, Russell Brand, children's hospitals. And are you bored with Bond? As the new Bond film is announced, everyone collectively releases a sigh of, huh, so what?
This Saturday from 3.
We're desperate to get a win.
Hear live FM commentary of Hull City versus West Bromwich Albion.
We certainly had a lot of chances. It's important that we start taking some of them.
On DAB in Birmingham, hear Lee Clark face his old team as Blues go to Blackpool.
Yeah, we're certainly going to be more than a match for any side in this division.
Cottrell left-footed, Pearce! In off the crossbar!
Wolves versus Bournemouth is live on DAB in the Black Country and Freeview, channel 722. Then I'll take your calls and reaction to the action.
We can't score. There's no creativity.
What on earth was he doing?
All the action starts with my show, Early Kickoff, this Saturday from midday.
BBC WM 95.6.
0-3-4-5-3-0-0-9-5-6 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Gene, we'll come to you in a second. Abdul first. Good afternoon, Abdul.
Good afternoon. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you very much. What would you like to say?
Okay. I listen to WM every afternoon, and as I say, I listen to Danny Kelly, I listen to Sonny and Shay, you know, but I never had the urge to call until today.
Uh-oh. Is that good or bad?
Ian, thank you very much. You are the guy who makes me laugh out loud. Oh. Honestly, I have got stomach cramps. You know, my Friday afternoons aren't, you know, that grim sort of thing. I mean, I'm always on the school run and what have you, and I'm out getting supplies from my restaurant. Yeah. But listening to you on the radio, Ian, is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It really is. And you say something that always hits a nerve. You know, and you say something that people are too afraid to say, you know, and I think you hit it on the key there. So thank you very much,
Abdul.
Ian.
I never know how to respond to compliments, so I'm going to do what I'm learning to do and say thank you very much indeed. And
you're
very, very kind. Not everyone likes it, as you've heard if you listen to the show. It divides people, and I think that's exciting. Got Russell Brand. Do you feel sorry for him?
I'm not a big fan of Russell Brand, to be perfectly honest with you, with his brand of comedy, whatever.
No.
But saying that, what the Sun is doing is absolutely ridiculous. It's just a witch hunt at the end of the day. I mean, this guy spoke out about Gaza a few months back, and then Fox TV was on his back, and then they tried to do another witch hunt on Russell Brand and tried to defame him at the end of the day. But he is at that post where he's a celebrity. He does have an opinion, you know, but when he does express an opinion, then people just jump on his back. But what the Sun are doing is just bang out of order. I think it's completely wrong.
I would love someone. He's worth 12 million quid. He pays a ridiculous amount of rent a year, £76,000 a year. But that doesn't mean that he can't speak up for people who aren't in such a fortunate position.
Exactly.
And I would love someone today to call up and tell me what Russell Brand has actually done wrong. Because I can't see it. I can't see it myself.
No, he hasn't done anything wrong. As I said, he's a celebrity. I mean, he can express himself. He's at that platform there. He has to speak out for minorities or people who are oppressed or whatever. And he's doing that, you know. And I congratulate him for that. But then again, for the Sun to do this to him, I just think isn't completely wrong.
Because the people that run the Sun, they aren't millionaires, are they? They're not living a life of luxury and privilege that most of us can only dream of, are they?
Exactly.
Of course they are.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Abdul, Len posed the question earlier on, who is the worst person out of all of them on the telly? It's a great question. Len's a genius.
Len shouldn't have, put that. I mean, if you dislike somebody on TV, you just turn the channel over. I don't know why we have this vote. And it's not Peter Lemon or John Lemon. Oh. It's Keith Lemon from Celebrity Juice.
Oh, Keith Lemon!
That's him, yeah, with Holly Willoughby and, you know.
You were about to phone in about Peter Lemon, weren't you, Jean?
Yes, I was.
Oh, sorry. Hello. I know exactly who this is. This is sexy old Jean.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, Jean. Yeah, exactly. Steady, Abdul. Calm down, fella. Calm.
I love that voice.
Yeah, Jean, tell Abdul how old you are.
90.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Hello, Abdul. How are you?
I'm very well, Jean. Oh, wow, you sound very, very sexy, yeah?
Oh, dear.
You do, though, Jean, you do. Jean, you were going to correct... It's not Peter Lemon.
No, that's Keith, isn't it?
It is, OK, that makes sense. I was getting... With the greatest respect, Jean, listen, Abdul sounds like a troublemaker. I can understand why he would know Keith Lemon. But, Jean, why are you aware of Keith Lemon?
I don't dislike him.
Oh, really? You like him?
No, I think he's so silly, I've got to laugh.
I've not seen him do Through the Keyhole, and I'm told it's brilliant.
He's quite funny, actually.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
I've worked with Keith Lemon. He is the filthiest man in the...
I can imagine.
So naughty, Jim.
I can imagine.
So naughty.
Oh, what fun.
Abdul, Jean, thank you very much. I do love doing this show, particularly when it just goes off on its own. I'm not doing anything here. You're doing this. 03453 009956. The Rolling Stones, but I like that song, and I shouldn't, because I think it was from this year, wasn't it? 03453 009956. We are talking about Christmas cards. What a waste of money. Russell Brand, how can you not feel sorry for him? Can anyone tell me what Russell Brand has done wrong. And also, we'll be talking about James Bond. Let's get the travel news first, though. Here's Matt.
Aston Expressway, the A38M, still partially blocked heading into Birmingham. The blockage is after an accident between Park Circus and Dartmouth Circus. It is starting to cause a queue now back all the way to Spaghetti Junction at Junction 6 of the M6, which itself is queuing northbound on the M6. You'll see queues around Spaghetti Junction. Elsewhere in Birmingham city centre, Lawley Middleway has a lane closed and manholes collapsed heading south from the A47 Neachels Parkway down towards the Curzon Street turn, so it's a little sluggish through there. Elsewhere on the motorways, the M6 northbound, there's a lane closed on the exit slip as you leave at junction 4 for the M42. A vehicle's broken down, so that's causing a bit of a queue. On the westbound M54 as well, heading away from Wolverhampton, it is still looking quite slow from junction 2 for Wolverhampton towards junction 3 for Albright. A lane closed there as roadworks continue, taking around 20 minutes to get through the stretch. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 002 88.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM 95.6.
Last 30 minutes of the show. Get your calls in now and we'll speak after the news with Charlotte Harriman.
Two Birmingham men who travelled to Syria have been jailed for more than 12 years each for preparing for acts of terrorism. Mohammed Ahmed and Yusuf Sowar, who are both 22 and from Handsworth, were arrested on their return to the UK in January. Police looking for a missing Romanian woman in West Bromwich have today found a body in a wheelie bin. Lydia Pascal, who was 26, went missing last month. Two men have been charged with her murder. A former radio DJ who was a friend of Jimmy Savile has been found guilty of rape. Ray Terrett, who's 73 and from Altrincham in Cheshire, was convicted of 7 counts of rape and 11 of indecent assault. He abused girls aged as young as 12 in the 1960s and 70s. The High Court has ruled that the Justice Secretary's ban on sending books to prisoners in England and Wales is unlawful. At present, prisoners can receive parcels only in exceptional circumstances, such as if they have a medical condition. Finally, the weather, sunny spells this afternoon, but a cold wind about. Temperatures at 7 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
So it's being described as the sexiest James Bond ever. Bond's triple glammy, page 2 and 3 of The Sun. The name's Bonk. James Bonk. I haven't heard that word for over 20 years. Fancy a bonk? What? You want to go back in time and watch some Ben Elton live videos? These are the spectacular, because it's called Spectre and it's a pun on spectacular, beauties ready to make the new James Bond movie the raunchiest yet. Basically, it's a chance to show some pictures of some hot girls. One of them's 50! Not many pictures of Daniel Craig in The Sun. You go to the other papers and there are, and, doesn't he look old? How is he? 46? He's 4 years old, 5 years older than me. He's... no. He looks like 60 or something. Daniel Craig? Daniel Craggy face, more like. I just made that up. 03453-00956. We've been expecting you, Mr. Bond, but not in a crew neck jumper and a pair of grey trousers. And what's he done to his eyes? He's done something to his eyes. Oh, I'm being told by producer Joe, he's put on weight so his eyes look smaller. OK, I didn't know that fat people had small eyes. Apparently they do. Craig, 46, posed at Pinewood Studios with some girls. The movie Spectre will be out next October after filming in London, Rome and Austria. If I'm completely honest, I don't like Daniel Craig as James Bond. I think he's a bit disappointed. He's a bit boring. The last one was so dull, apart from the bad guy. There was a comedy bad guy, wasn't there? Like a really sort of camp, old-fashioned Bond villain. I like that, but I didn't have a clue what was going on. The best Bond, of course, is... and this isn't me being ironic or retro-chic or a hipster. Roger Moore. Live and Let Die, flipping it. What a movie. What a movie. Yeah, Fat Moto getting full up of helium and blowing up. Spoiler alert, by the way. James Seymour being tricked into bed by a loaded deck of tarot cards. Beautiful film. Beautiful. Is anyone bothered about the new James Bond film? I'll watch it when it comes. You know, I won't go to the cinema and watch it. I'll watch it when it's on the telly for free. Or I'll watch it on an aeroplane and I'll quite enjoy it. But Dave's in Albury. Dave, are you bothered about James Bond?
Not really.
Daniel Craig's rubbish, isn't it?
The best one was Connery.
No.
He was.
An old, a short, fat, bald Scottish man who couldn't act.
He wasn't then, was he?
He was. I think it was a syrup even in the 60s, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think he's been tricking us with the hair magic for quite a long time.
No.
Okay, well, okay.
Anyway, leave Ranjit alone. Without people like Ranjit and me, you wouldn't have a job.
Well, listen, without people like Ranjit, I would have a much easier job. Man alive, that guy's every time Ranjit comes on the show, I have to get out the defibrillator and bring the show back to life. He sucks the soul out of the show, Dave.
He's good, though, isn't he? He cracks everybody up.
I couldn't possibly say, but yes. What you got for us, Dave? Are you a fan of Christmas cards?
Yeah, well, you know them three. Did you write them to yourself? Because you said you only managed to write three.
Well, if you sit down with a pile of Christmas cards, you think you have a nice cup of coffee, or maybe, Dave, I don't know, you have an alcohol problem, so a glass of scotch.
No, I don't.
OK, I'm just thinking out
loud.
I
don't drink.
All right, well, you've denied that quite a lot. And you sit down and you think, I'm going to write these cards, right? By the time you've written three, your hand is kind of inverted and you can't hold. It's like a donkey holding a pen.
Once you get going, once you got two or three, you want to get them finished.
Yeah, exactly. It's a waste of money, Dave. Someone phoned in earlier and said they are shamed into sending Christmas cards. You shouldn't be shamed into doing anything.
I'm not shamed. I don't mind sending them, but I don't like receiving them.
Let's just examine that nuts logic from David Elbury. You don't mind sending them, but you don't like receiving them.
Christmas is for giving, not receiving, isn't it? Oh, I mean, you know.
You buy into that nonsense.
Yeah.
So what happens when you get a Christmas card? Does your heart sink?
I think, oh, well, thank you, you know. I mean, but the most I get is about half a dozen.
Yeah, well, I've
seen about 70 or 80.
Well, you're not very popular, Dave.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've got a daughter of 27 and she don't even contact.
So he said, you're right. Let's go through those stats again, Joe. Thank you. You send out 80 cards.
Yeah.
You get six back.
Yes.
And Dave, what do you get? What lesson do you think you could learn from that?
Well, it's up to them, isn't it? If they want to send Christmas cards back, I'm just being polite.
Dave, thank you very much indeed. Oh, we've got another card from Dave. I am not sending Dave a Christmas card. He can take the hint. He's not welcome round here. Ian, the most irritating person on TV is Keith Lemon, says Audrey. He's over the top, rude and irritating. I like Keith Lemon. He's rude. Keith Lemon, the worst one out of all of them on the telly. Loads of people just text in they don't like Keith Lemon. I want Jeremy Kyle off the TV. I can't stand him, says Natalie. Who will sign my petition? I used to love Jeremy Kyle. I used to think it was a brilliant programme. And then I met him, right? And he's got evil eyes. I can't put it any other way. He's got evil eyes. And there was just, as I was looking into his eyes, I kind of felt my soul being sucked out. I did. And now I think the Jeremy Kyle show is everything that is wrong with this country. Everything that is wrong with this country is Jeremy Kyle. Not the people that are on there. They're being exploited. It's Jeremy Kyle is the problem. Gene, stay there. I'll come to you in a second. Pete's up. Afternoon, Pete.
Good day,
Pete. Can you believe that? Dave sends out 80 cards. He gets six cards back.
Well, I'd send six cards out then.
Yeah, exactly. If he sent six out, he might not get any back. He'd be heartbroken.
Ah, still be.
But Pete, are you in the same room as your telephone?
Yes.
Are you on speakerphone?
Hang on.
Don't think so.
But you're not now. I hate speakerphone and those Uhura things you put in your ears. All of that. If you've got a phone, talk into it. All right, it's not that difficult. Anyway, Pete, what would you like to say?
Christmas card.
Yes, and it's back in the box.
I had a very nice one from Yoko Ono 1 year.
Okay.
And I had a very nice one from a gentleman called Lon Van Eaton.
Hang on a second. Did you actually have a Christmas card from Yoko Ono?
Yeah.
I was worried.
I was shaking hands with her last May.
Whoa. I was worried this was going to go down a vaguely racist punchline route. But you, how the hell did you get a Christmas card from Yoko Ono?
Because I'm a nice fella.
Well, I'm a nice fella. I'm not actually, but why did she send you a Christmas card?
Well, I wrote her a very nice letter, and she actually sent me a sort of postcard.
Yeah.
Some years before.
Yeah.
Which actually arrived on my birthday, as it happened. But that was just an accident.
Wow.
Because I wrote to her, and she sent me a card back saying to Pete, "Happy summer, love Yoko," and that was 1987.
Yeah.
I think it was 1999. I wrote to her about something or other, and she sent me a Christmas card, which I treasure. And I also, because I've got a Beatles radio show, the top Beatles radio show in Europe, and I get to meet a lot of people.
What?
And I interviewed a guy called Lon Van Eaton.
Now, why do I know that name?
Recorded on the Beatles Apple record label.
Okay,
Lon and Derek Van Eaton. And had a very nice Christmas card off.
Hang on a second. Where do you do this Beatles radio show?
In my home.
Yeah, okay. But where is it broadcast? On the internet?
And radio as well, yeah. I've been on WM many years ago.
I'd love to have a chat with you, but we haven't got time. Can you send me an email?
Sure. What's the address?
Ian, I-A-I-N.
Yeah.
Dot L-double-E.
Ian dot Lee at...
bbc.co.uk.
Have a look at beatlesandbeyond.com.
I'm going to have a little look, Pete. Thank you for that. I could. The thing is, I know I could fall down the rabbit hole with Pete now, and we'd be eating up the first hour of Frank's show. So I'm going to stop there, Pete. But send us an email because I'd love to have a chat. Oh, wasn't that nice? He's got a Christmas card from Yoko Ono. I'm going to write a letter to Yoko Ono. I'd love a letter from her. Afternoon, Jean.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
Hello, my gorgeous little darling, Jean. How are you?
I forgot you were on today, and I've just got in the car about 15 minutes ago, and I put the radio, and I thought, oh, he's on, because I don't listen to WM Monday to Thursday.
Oh, blimey, Jean. Well, listen, I'm glad you've... How could you forget that I was on, though, Jean? Every Friday, 2 till 4, every Saturday, 9 till 12.
I listened to you then, that's right, but I'd just momentarily forgotten, you see.
Jean,
you've just made my afternoon.
We need to seriously reconsider this relationship, Jean. I don't know if it's working for me. Are you crying?
I have to go elsewhere, I'm afraid, on a Monday to Thursday afternoon.
What have you got for us? Daniel Craig, you hate him, do you?
No, I don't hate him, but I was just listening to your conversations about him, and I just thought we have to be careful because he's probably listening.
Oh, yeah.
He's a local resident now.
Is he local?
Apparently so.
Oh, blimey. But he's not a spy in real life. He's an actor, and I could probably beat an actor up in a fight if I needed to.
Why would you need to beat him up?
If he attacked me, he'd be doing...
He's not going to attack you. He's a really nice chap.
Well, how do you know? Have you met him?
No,
thank
but
you.
I might be if I frequented some pubs around Lapworth.
Well, is that well? Listen, Jean, you sound like you're on the prowl or something.
Oh, it would be for him.
Oh dear! Listen, I look just as good in a tight little pair of Speedos as he does in that film.
Yeah, I've got the vision in my mind.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Oh, 03453 009956.
Heartland.
So, your thoughts on the new James Bond? Excited? 03453 009956. We will speak to a Bond superfan in 31 seconds.
What is going wrong with Wolverhampton Wanderers? Let's ask Kevin. Hello, Kev.
The football phone-in with Paul Franks.
We're the first division team trying to play in the Championship. That's our problem.
Mark's a blue nose in Tamworth, and he's a happy blue nose. Hello, Mark.
Listen to this, kid. Nobody looks at the league tables until after Christmas.
Are you sure?
No, the Championship is only just kicked into gear, mate.
The football phone-in. Have your say with the legends. Weeknights from 6.
BBC WM.
95.6.
So, new James Bond film, Spectre. Daniel Craig, I'm not a fan. Mick Caulfield probably is. You're a James Bond super fan, aren't you, Mick?
Ah, Mr. Lee, I've been expecting you.
Oh, yeah, get in there, fella. Get in there. What qualifies you as a super fan?
Well, I think it's only fair to say I've never considered myself to be a super fan. I mean, I've just lived a fortunate life that's, you know, managed to go to every Bond premiere since 83 and been lucky enough to meet all the James Bonds and a bit of filming and had generally a good time, to be perfectly honest.
How have you managed to wangle that? Because that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, premieres. I mean, there was a James Bond fan club, and it's still going in some respects. It's based in London, and I got in touch with them in the late 70s, and through them and through various contacts, we've been able to get premiere tickets over the years.
Beautiful.
Trips to Pinewood Studios to watch and film. We have some very good people who would probably be considered to be stalkers now, who find out where they're filming on location. Oh. And we've seen them film on location and various Bonds. I mean, I don't have meals with them or half an hour chats, but autographs and a few words here and there around the country when I bumped into them, and that's really it, to be honest with you.
What's the coolest bit of memorabilia you've got?
Well, I'm not a great deal for collecting memorabilia. I think I've got a very nice a martini glass and a martini shaker from Casino Royale.
Beautiful.
Which is always very nice. I've got various other things, but to be honest with you, it's ever such a shame. You just tend to put them in the cupboard and occasionally get them out and have a look at them. And I've not really done them for an investment, to be honest with you. It just gives me a great deal of pleasure to open it up. I mean, Premier brochures are very nice because if you get autographs in Premier brochures, it's nice to look back and you say, oh, that's where I met Pierce Brosnan, that's where I met Roger Moore, and people go, yeah, whatever. And then you show them the brochure and there's their signature and you think, well, there you go, I'm telling the truth.
I'm going to guess that Roger Moore is the nicest Bond to meet.
No, actually, Pierce Brosnan was the nicest.
Really? I always imagined him to be a bit cool.
Oh, no, very, very funny, nice, down-to-earth sort of bloke. I've been fortunate enough to meet him quite a few times and have more than a couple of minutes. And a very, very nice man, I must say, but very funny, very nice person to meet, yeah.
OK, what was Connery like? He must have been really grumpy.
Well, the Connery, it sort of depends how long you've got. I mean, I went up to Edinburgh and Connery was very ill at the time. And I went to the Edinburgh Film Festival because I used to work for the cinemas. And he was the last of the James Bonds that I hadn't managed to meet. Yeah. And I managed to work my way through the VIP lounge where he was. And they were having a drink. And he seemed to recognise me for some reason.
Oh, is that Mick Caulfield fella? Come on, guys.
Well, yeah, possibly. But no, obviously he thought I was somebody else. And then he came walking towards me and I thought, wow. Oh my God, I'm actually going to meet Sir Sean Connery. And he offered his hand to me, thinking I was obviously someone completely different. And I uttered those immortal lines because he'd been ill, so seriously ill. I said, Sir Sean, I'm so pleased to meet you before you die.
You did not say that!
I did. To which he laughed.
Yeah.
I laughed and thought, well, how funny is that? And then he realised that I wasn't who he thought he was, so he was quite polite. But of course, I'd done my bit. Shook the great man's hand, completed the set.
Brilliant.
Before he died, obviously, and thankfully he's still with us.
Yeah.
And then went and had a drink.
Brilliant. Very quickly, because although I don't like the film he was in, I'm always intrigued by George Lazenby, because he bizarrely went off to Hong Kong to make like really low-budget karate films. What was he like?
He was strange. I met him at a Majesty's Secret Service 25-year do at Pinewood, and he's a really strange man because he likes to make eye contact with you, and he shows it as a sign of weakness, believe it or not, if you take your avert your eyes from him. But he was okay. You know, he didn't faze me. He's all right, and I was ironically my favourite film.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, listen, let's get on to the new Bond film, Spectre. Daniel Craig doesn't do it for me, Mick. I find them a little bit soulless, his films. And also, the last two, I didn't understand what the hell was going on.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, I think that the Bond films got incredibly silly, especially towards the late 70s. And as they moved up, I thought Brosnan had an element of silliness, but some good action in it.
Yeah.
And I think we as Bond fans desperately wanted to get back to making adult Bond films. And yeah. I thought Casino Royale was a stunning film. I've got to be honest, a standalone film anyway.
Oh, the bit where I like the bit where he gets smacked in the knackers with the rope.
Well, that's up to you. That's your personal preference. I wouldn't exactly say that. You know, I don't think you should be saying that on air, to be perfectly honest, but that's entirely up to you.
Thank you.
That wasn't mine, but still. You know, I thought the fight in the stairwell was incredible.
Yep.
I thought the scenes when he was in the shower with Eva Green was very touching. I thought the whole thing for Montenegro, The Last Air, was a brilliant piece of film work. I really enjoyed that, and I desperately wanted them to make it an adult film. I thought Skyfall, that's exactly what we got. Now, we're being incredibly picky now. Well, when I say we, I'm being incredibly picky, and I'm sure Bond fans will feel the same, that we want a bit of humour. You know, we want a bit of a laugh and a joke and a throwaway. He doesn't deliver humour, and he's acknowledged that, in all fairness, because he's a serious actor. He doesn't do it particularly well, but that's what we're crying out for, a few ad-libs, a few corny lines. And if they can get some of that, and I think they will in this film, I think that it's going to be a great film. I'm so much looking forward to it.
Right, final question, Mick, and I don't want any of this, I don't want any of this. I want a definitive answer. In your opinion, the best James Bond film of all time?
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Really?
Me and my friends went up to Piz Glory, where it was filmed in Switzerland for an anniversary event, and we had a really smashing time because that's how much it means to us to go 10,000 foot up in the Mura in air to where it was filmed.
Mick, can I tell you, you're wrong. The best Bond film, of course, is Live and Let Die. Everyone knows that.
Well, it's all depending how old you are.
An old man, are you?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm older than Connery when he made his last film, but younger than Moore.
Blimey.
So work that one out.
Mick, you are a good sport. I appreciate you coming on this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a nice afternoon.
Thank you very much. Mick Caulfield. James Bond fan. What do you reckon, Paul? Are you a fan of Daniel Craig?
Not really. I agree with you. He's a bit of a wuss for James Bond, isn't he?
He's a little bit, isn't he? I mean, I could probably take him if I needed to.
I saw that picture. It was on telly this morning. And it looked like, you know, when you're a kid, how your granddad would look.
Yeah, it looked like Clive Dunn. And the new Bond film is going to star Clive Dunn as Granddad Bond.
And Roger Moore is the best. His sense of humour is wicked.
Oh, man. Everyone says Roger Moore can't act. Au contraire. Roger Moore is brilliant. Really understated actor.
Yeah. Well, he actually played Bond because, you know, they got that one guy in for the one episode from Russia with Love, which bombed. And if it wasn't for Roger Moore, I think they'd have scrapped it 40 years ago.
Yeah. He saved it. Paul, you've met Yoko Ono as well, have you?
Yeah, I did. I was in New York, lifelong ambition to go to the Dakota Building.
Well, I've stood outside it as well, yeah.
Yeah, and this little Japanese woman walked up the road and she got in the back of a big stretch car, and I thought, it's now or never, a bang on the window.
God, you don't want to bang on Yoko Ono's window outside the Dakota after what happened there.
She was as nice as I was on the car. And the window came down and I asked her for her autograph. I even borrowed a pen off her to get her autograph.
And she was cool about it, was she?
Yeah, she was ever so nice.
I'm deeply envious. As a huge Beatles fan, I'm deeply envious. Paul, I've got to end it there because we're out of time. That's it. That's your lot. Oh, I didn't get to read the story. A woman given an ASBO and then a suspended jail sentence for loud sex session says she'll continue to make noise. I didn't get a chance to read that story. We've got a minute. Caroline Cartwright's bonking. Bonking, the second time that word has been used in the papers today. This is written by Ben Elton. Caroline Cartwright's bonking with husband Steve are so noisy that police have been called to their home to tell them to be quiet more than 30 times. Magistrates issued an ASBO to the 53-year-old, banning her from shouting, screaming or vocalising during sex after she breached a noise abatement order 5 times. Caroline, who's been with Steve for 38 years, says she has no regrets. She said, as far as I'm concerned, that's what you should be doing. Just relax and go with the flow. Their passionate session... I can't read the rest of it. It's too naughty. Flipping heck, aren't some people outrageous? I never forget, I've told this story, when I stayed in a hotel up here once. Oh, I thought a woman was being attacked at 3 o'clock in the morning. Au contraire. Listen, that's it. Some brilliant calls this morning. Thank you so much. Don't forget, if you're not liking what we're talking about, call in with your suggestions and, you know, we'll see if people want to go with them. Thank you, Producer Joe. Excellent stuff as always. Good work. Back tomorrow at 9 o'clock, 9 till 12 every Saturday. Do stick around, though, because Francie's going to be up soon. Before that, though, let's get the travel.
Well, things are largely starting to clear up accident-wise. There was a lane closed northbound on the M6 as you headed towards Spaghetti Junction after an accident there. That has already cleared, as has the accident on the Aston Expressway heading into Birmingham from Park Circus towards Dartmouth Circus, and Lawley Middleway all back open now as well, where there was a collapsed manhole between Neachels Parkway and Curzon Street. A couple of delays on the motorways. Northbound M42 queuing towards Junction 5 for Solihull, and the M5 northbound slow on the link towards the northbound M6. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6. Travel on 08453 002 88.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Very good afternoon. Friday afternoon. Ian Lee back tomorrow morning at 9. Let's get the main news before we do anything else with Charlotte Harriman.
Two Birmingham men who had